Hello and welcome to Pro U Podcast, episode number 360, Vibrating Higher. Sometimes things I've said thousands of times roll off thy lips fluidly, like a butterfly coming out of a cocoon. But right before this was a hello and welcome to I'm gonna kind of sounded like that. So yes, there are some retakes. Doing the intros and outros. Hello, 360. Love that number. Episode number 360, Vibrating Higher. That just sounds cool. I'm not trying to toot my own, right? 360, Vibrating Higher. Well, it's the verbiage I'm using. It's the verbiage I'm understanding. And something got sent to me and I checked it out and read it. And there was a link and I clicked on it and went, hey, 10 stages of enlightenment. And I was like, no, okay, probably don't need to read that. And that was all the old Tom. And then the newer, evolving, seeking enlightenment version of Tom said, well, just read a little bit of it. And I got to number 3 and my jaw dropped. And I went, no way. Like, completely resonated with me. And I was like, no. And I kept reading. So then I said, I'm going to share this. This is fantastic. And then it just comes down to the same stuff. Like, I really do feel like it's, you vibrate at a frequency, and then therefore that's what you attract. And if you're the type of person that goes, hey, I'm going to stop, pause, reflect, and see if I can raise my frequency or understand what that even is, that's that pro-you path of self-discovery. And it's one, you know, not of great finances or, you know, success or popularity or fame or likes or anything else. But you grow. You become a better version. You climb that pro-you tree and you will never climb down it. And you just seek the better you because you like a better you because it's better. And you feel good and you like feeling good. So this is what happens. But now I'm in this point where, like, the purple is just overwhelming and it's glowing so bright. I fall to my knees in gratitude and I sit down with everybody I talk to and I know what to say. And that overfilleth my cuppeth when I can truly, earnestly, sincerely, authentically, organically know what to say and know that that will help the people that I care about the most and I'm in their life participating. What else would I want? And then I need nothing else. So I'm at peace. I get done. I'm like, I did that. I helped those people. Wow, I'm so thankful. Oh, look at my dog. Let's go for a walk. Yay, what a great day. This is fantastic. And then I got a great car story. Who's got a great car story that involves money and insurance? That doesn't happen. Yeah, that happened. August 2020. You know, March was great. Turned 55, was like, this is the best I've ever been. Fact, April a little better, May a little better, June a little better, July a little better. And that was through the pandemic. And again, like, I'm super thankful that I don't have problems that people don't have, but I was thankful for problems that people had that I didn't have 2, 3, 4 years ago. So I've been walking this path of gratitude for a long time, but it's a muscle and it gets stronger. And every day I'm like, wow, I'm more thankful. I feel better. And this happened. I keep saying, come to my well by the water. I sell. That's all I'm going to do. Walk the earth, have experiences and share them. That's what I'm selling. But I feel great. My life is great. I don't want it to change. Not perfect. I'm not perfect. Wonderfully flawed still. But I'm just firing up that flame of Tom's good. That's what I'm sharing. That's what I'm putting out there. You know, that's what I'm letting shine, hoping it gives other people permission to let their own light shine. Not because it's perfect, not because it's the brightest or it's this color or that. That's your, it's just because it's your light. You're supposed to let your light shine. Let your light shine. Done. And that's what I'm able to do. I like being me right now. I'm enjoying being Tom. And I really, really, for lack of better verbiage, believe in my heart that I'm vibrating higher than I ever have before. thank you for listening. If you have, for 360 episodes, thank you. If you just listening for the first time, enjoy. Friend I care deeply about shares with me that his sister will be losing her job due to the pandemic. And he continues to say that there might come a time when he needs to help her financially. And I could feel, see, sense the emotion that he said that with. You know, definite love, concern, you know, some worry. And it was in these moments where, as he's speaking, this is what happens in my brain. I have a sister who lost her job. In my brain, wow, your sister's still alive. He continues, I may have to help her financially. In my brain, wow. And she has a brother that, if she gets in trouble financially, can help her. So that just sits in me, this good. Oh, yay. Good story. Thanks for sharing. And obviously, I don't say it like that. And there's no sarcasm meant. But I started thinking, like, I kind of naturally just, I listen that way. It's like I listen and there's a picture in my mind. Like my mind creates an image of what I'm hearing. And I've kind of done that on and off. But I thought that could be, as far as my definition goes, something where I'm vibrating higher. Where someone's talking and immediately I'm taking out the feelings. Well, this could be bad, maybe. We'll see. You know, the whole village story that I've said countless times, something happens and the village gathers and they go, well, that's bad. And the dude in charge like, well, we'll see. And the next day, that thing kind of changed. And the event happened. And it was like, oh, that turned out to be a good thing. And he's like, well, we'll see. And it was like that every day. So if someone's talking that I care about, and I get where they're coming from, but I'm in this place where I'm like, yeah, but. And what I share does have value, because that person does listen differently when I share those things. And it got, well, even my titles. Check out my titles, man. You know, where I'm headed, but vibrating higher. I mean, you said 5 years ago, hey, that's going to be a title of one of your episodes. I'm like, what? Vibrate higher? I'm trying to lose weight? I'm I gained weight? I'm going on a diet? I need to up my cardio? So this is something I shared with a friend. Going deep. Better sit down. Never truly verbalized this before. Seems to fit with our chat and potential podcast fodder. And I don't know when I started using the word fodder. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure that's, I'm using that correctly. But I checked it out. It's food, it's hay for cows. So it's exactly what it is. But I was like, why did it, maybe it's gotta be a Minnesota thing, right? Oh yeah. Jeez. That's where it comes from. Did Catholicism, Christianity, and AA. The first two did not resonate with me, nor did they serve me. Did I learn some good? I'm sure. Like how to light candles. Wink, wink. AA, the most pivotal 8 months in my life. There's me before AA and there's me after, post AA. There's stopping, pausing, reflecting. And then there's going to AA. My therapist said, best free therapy and all 12-step programs, out of all of the 12-step programs, AA has the highest success rate. All 12 steps are the same in every 12-step program. The first two. Number one, you're powerless over that whatever. Number two, there's a higher power. The only mention of anything religious / spiritual / anything is right there in step two. There's a higher power. That's the verbiage used. Done. But it is number two, the truth. So, well, I'm just going to keep reading. Keeping it general, believing, having faith in a higher power, verbiage not important, not omnipotent, along with letting go, which is basically step one. I can't / don't have control over much, so let it go. Gives one freedom. Freedom from unrealistic responsibility we've placed upon ourselves. Every sober alcoholic knew the power in step two. If anyone knew, didn't let go, and to surrender to something bigger than them, they never got sober. They never slayed that dragon. My belief now is that I am not responsible for much except for choosing my response. That's it. I don't have to explain it. I don't have to know what to call it. I don't need to have anyone understand it. But with all that being said, I believe in it as much as I do anything. That level of faith is something I've never experienced before. Come to my well by the water I sell. It's what I would hope or want for anyone, especially someone I care about. A lot of the specifics each person must experience firsthand, but the belief in something bigger, more powerful than us, that's real. Letting go of, added to this, means experiencing a life of less worry, doubt, and fear. How can I have no worry, doubt, or fear, and yet have so little? Faith. In what? Something bigger than me. The end. So, to me, that's also vibrating higher. You know, it's verbiage. And what does that mean? I mean, again, it doesn't matter to me. But I'm in a place where I'm recognizing things and making choices. And it's kind of like saying, I have one foot in this one, and I have one foot in this world and one foot out of this world. Now, I don't know what the after is, you know, and I don't have to. I'm not responsible for that. And is there, I mean, is there, you're a conscious being and then you leave your body and then you're that same conscious person? You know, I find that rather hard to believe as well. But is there some form of you that goes on? And I'm like, well, yeah, I mean, that's, I mean, it seems somehow, some way that that's the possibility. So it's like not, oh, there's life, which is great, and then death, and it's bad, and it's the end. It's like, well, what I had said last episode, you know, embracing the fact that, you know, life is you're born, you live, and you die. You know, so the Buddhists talk about suffering as part of that. Like, it's just, you know, don't get thrown by it. It's just part of it. There will be good, there will be bad. This too shall pass. So I kind of just keep on distancing myself and kind of, you know, not having the feelings come in. And when I'm listening to people, I'm like, doesn't matter, doesn't matter. Got nothing to do with you, got nothing to do with you. Because I can clearly discern between what truly has to do with them. Because I've done that, I've walked that path. So again, there's this thing where I'm like, I see things clear. I'm vibrating higher. And it's not this, oh, Tom thinks he's vibrating higher. You know, I'm not into patting myself on the back and giving myself accolades at all. I'm just, yes, I have good posture. Yes, I'm lean. Yes, I'm in good shape. So I can just say that shit. You know, it's just facts. I am not tooting my own horn. So if I say, yes, I'm vibrating higher. Again, to me, that's just, I'm with what I'm going through, and that's just verbiage that fits. And I'm gonna read something that really tripped me out. Like, all this stuff kind of basically, I didn't like research it, go to school, and then apply it. I made up a bunch of this stuff and fumbled my way through it to get to the point where got a podcast out, had a message, and started sharing. But again, now there's just this stuff that's becoming more and more clear. So like I said, I just got this feeling that, you know, one, I'm like, well, what do you have in this world? And I'm like, that doesn't really matter. Well, who are you talking to? Like, who's important? Like, what's and all? Like the worries that people have and I used to have, I don't anymore. Because I'm like, I'm kind of good. I got through today. What? What do you mean? Well, I really was just hoping to get through today. What do you mean? That's it. I stay present. I'm super thankful. I had everything I needed today. It was a great day. What about tomorrow? I'll do the same thing. What about yesterday? Don't think about it. What about tomorrow? Don't think about it. How do you do that? I guess I'd call it vibrating higher. So I wrote in my journal, on day 20,219 of my life, I'm outside in my chill spot. That's my little outdoor area where Zen and I chill. Okay. For me, I go out there, I make stuff, I read, I write, I reflect. And then I get to hang out there with Zen. And then Zen gets to hang out there. Like, if it's hot, he'd much rather be out there on that cold cement because it keeps him cool. So in this complex, there's 20 apartments. There's two, the one below me and mine are the two biggest. I built an indoor shop. I make, I create, I sand, I cut wood, I finish, I sand. I go outside, I work on wood out there. And I just, like, I made three or four things in this little box that I love. All inside. I mean, you know, my little area, but where I live. Like, I made it here. I didn't have to go to my backyard or garage or shop or friend's house or what I used to do is, you know, a client's backyard or a friend's wood, like my place. And I was just like, this is, I mean, like no one else, you know, in these 20 apartments has that outdoor area, has a place to chill, has a, you know, a dog that they chill, has a dog that chills outside, has his own area. And, you know, having a larger, you know, it's a studio apartment. It's small, but of the ones that are here, they're all, you know, one person studio. apartments. I'm like, you know, mine is the biggest. And I'm like, I got room to put a shop in. I can make stuff. And I just felt like that just fills my cup. Like my cup overrunneth. And then again, I step back and I'm like, I like that I'm that guy. What guy? Well, the guy that's like, dude, I'm so happy with where I live. I love where he's not wondering about if it's going to get better, change, get bigger, if he's going to make more money, move on, to, which he used to do forever, 48 years. Now he's just happy and thankful for what he has. Thus his cup overfloweth. I wrote, no one felt bad for me when cash, life, all the above slowed for me. Now I feel bad for those who struggle, but I focus on my gratitude and why I am thankful. And I wrote, one foot in, one foot out. One foot in this world reality, one foot in the next, whatever that is. And then I wrote, I think this will become my PYP notes. Because why not? Not much matters in the sense that much has very little to do with you. Yes, there are feelings. Just titled my next podcast, Vibrating Higher. So I haven't been journaling consistent, but I've been journaling. That was added. So took out alcohol last November. Not for a real big reason, just was like, well, I like it. 8.3, want to be an 8.5. I don't know that that's hurting me, but it can't be helping me, so I'm going to stop. I did, and January, February, everything started happening at the beach, balanced, next level, went to the hospice group, spoke. It was just, like, cool stuff. And then I saw a quote that said, alcohol slows your vibration. And I was like, no way. It says, yeah, for thousands of years, alcohol has been used to slow humans' vibration. And I went, okay, wait a minute. Like, I'm having these, like, the moment when I went to that woman's house, I was going to put a cross in her backyard, and for, like, the next hour and a half, I took over, cleaned, organized, rearranged, and decorated her yard. And it was, like, this total being present in this moment and just not even thinking, and just, and I was like, these are just these great moments. I'm like, oh, that's what's happening, you know, I'm being present. So I started realizing that I was having these moments, I was having these experiences, and that's when I kind of started using this verbiage, and that's when I kind of started, you know, I guess you attract that which you're like. So if I'm interested in, you know, hey, what's, you know, fruit dogs can't have, I'm going to Google that. And I did. Zen's first fruit he ever ate in his entire life was like a month ago. And he started eating grapes. I go, no way, how cool. And the next day, someone posted, aren't grapes bad? So I Googled it. Grapes, raisins, toxic for dogs. And I went, oh, wow, he threw up twice yesterday. You know, okay. Got it. So here's what I wrote, and then I'm going to read a couple things. You attract that which you are like. So whatever frequency you're vibrating at, you attract. So it's kind of, and this is the little scenario I'll kind of use, like misery loves company. You've heard that expression before. So a long time ago, it was a phone call I got, and I think it was bad news about my sister. I wasn't sure if she had passed or whatever, but I didn't sleep. And I got up and I ran to Target to buy coffee. Like, that was the story. Like, I hadn't slept and I went to Target to buy coffee. Like, that's all I really remember. And I was just in a bad way, you know, just rushing, panicky. I think I had to fly home. So it was like I got to get a flight. And I was running errands or whatever I was doing. And I busted into Target. When you first walk in, there's kind of a bunch of people on the cart area. And I just kind of busted through and had, you know, headphones on and just flew through. and walked quite a ways, you know, all the way to the one side, turned right, turned left in the coffee aisle. And I'm sitting there for a second, and then all of a sudden the corner of my eye, I start looking, and there's this dude. And this dude straight looked like he just walked out of prison. Bald guy, white baggy t-shirt, baggy jeans, and he's carrying a bag and this, like, cup of coffee. And I'm like, who shops at Target carrying stuff already when they walk in? And I did remember walking by this guy. Like, I didn't walk by him, but, like, that group of people I passed, I kind of noticed him. And, you know, just, like, I cut through a couple of the people and just, because I was, you know, in a hurry, panicking, rushing, whatever. And I could see him now. He's, like, talking or saying something. So I take my earphones out, and he's, like, yelling, saying shit. And I'm like, what? I'm like, I don't have time for this. And I get, like, I have no patience at this point, so I take out my headphones. I take out my, I think it was my Walkman at the time, and I put it on the ground. Whatever it was, keys, I took it out of my pockets, and I looked at him, and I walked towards him. I said, okay, let's go. And I was just like, do something, let's go. And I was like, okay, he's yelling, I'm yelling, we're Target employees. It was kind of what I was thinking, because I'm like, you know, sooner or later they're going to come, they're going to, you know, escort him away, and I can shop and get my coffee and leave. And I'm just looking at him going, what? What are you going to do? Like, I was just as nuts as him. I'm like, what? Go. Let's do this. And he finally left. This lady comes walking up, and she goes, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, just whatever. Didn't do whatever. And she goes, well, did you see the knife he had? And I'm like, no, I did not see the knife he had. So it ends well. Don't see him, left the store. And I think back to that story now, because I walked into that store with a frequency that was very low, very manic, very bad, very negative. It was like that was my energy. And who did I attract? No one else went, why is that guy walking so fast? Let me follow him. Why is he in a hurry? I want to go talk to that guy. One dude looked like he just got out of prison, did. Winner, winner, Tom. Chicken dinner. But that's what I thought of. And I've said that, like, last couple weeks. I told people that story. I go, that was a complete example of, oh, there's your frequency you're vibrating at. Therefore, that's what you attract. Now, you're vibrating differently. So when someone tells you a story about their sister losing their job, you go, oh, she's alive. That's fantastic. Wow. And her brother's in such a place financially that he gets to help. Well, that's a great story. Thanks for... And I'm not, like, again, trying to be sarcastic or that, you know, happy Joe positive guy. I'm like, no, that's literally what I see, hear, and feel when people are talking. So it was all about this... being present, being thankful. And then that is kind of like, hey, I'm on a tramway. Where? I don't know, but I hear you vibrate higher. And you just continue. When I tell people, you know, you climb the pro-you tree, you don't stop. You never stop climbing the pro-you tree. All right, so here's the article. Being present. Oh, and this is from that Buddha groove. It's like my new thing, my new go-to. The mind is a funny thing. When we most need focus, that's when our thoughts start running in 1,000 different directions. We can then try to chase them all down, exhausting. Or we can apply techniques such as mindfulness to help us stay connected with the present. I just, like, read this and I'm like, this is all the stuff I talk about. These are the words I use. I must be doing something right. Mindfulness is not a shortcut to peace. It's a lifetime practice that can take years to master. So, welcome to my world. Fortunately, we can begin to apply it anytime, with gentle steps towards self-awareness and self centering. Here are the three steps to begin with. Very user-friendly, right? Number one, breathe. Breathe in, breathe out, and repeat. If it sounds too simple, it's not. After a few moments of patiently inhaling and exhaling, it becomes clear how rarely we actually watch our breath throughout the day. Breathing slows down, the body gives the mind something to concentrate on and reconnects us with what is happening in the present. This air, this smell, this season. Feelings come and go like clouds in a windy sky. Conscious breathing is my anchor. Number two, relax. Sit back, drop your shoulders, and drop your tension. Again, we spend so much time running, walking, standing, or sitting hunched over a desk that we can forget what it means to be still with only the intention of relaxing mind and body. In this step, feel free to let the mind do its own thing while the body rests and watches. Tension is who you think you should be. Relaxation is who you are. Be present. Begin to live now. This is number three. Be present. Begin to live now without judging past or future. See, I've been just saying that, being present. You know, stay in the now. Don't think about yesterday. Don't think about tomorrow. It's exactly what I've been saying. Be here now is a great mantra, and I've been saying that for a long time. It means concentrating on what we have and what we can control here and now. There it is. Concentrating on what we have and what we can control here and now. Love that. Instead of worrying about what is ultimately outside of our sphere of influence. I love that sphere of influence. I'm going to steal all that. Watch it. Quotes coming. Life is lived in the present. Yesterday is gone. Tomorrow is yet to be. Today is the miracle. All right. Here's a trippy thing. I mean, I saw the title. It was one of those things I dismissed. I think last episode I did the same thing. I started reading this story. And I went, oh, no, I can't read this. I can't share this. And I didn't even read that far. This, I saw the title and went, well, I maybe not. And then I was like, well, let me just, it was so funny. I'm like, well, let me just, I've just been doing that. And it's like a big step for me. You know, breaking that wall down. Taming the ox. Huh? Right? Intriguing, compelling, curiosity piqued. Then let's venture forth, shall we? The Buddhist teaching of Zen ox herding, or taming the ox, surveys the 10 stages of enlightenment as it unfolds in a human life. In this teaching, the ox is a symbol for enlightenment, the goal of Buddhist studies. It is believed that the ox symbol was chosen due to East Indians' reverence for cows, which are considered sacred. What is enlightenment? Instead of being an experience, enlightenment transcends all experiences, all duality. Enlightenment is the full embodied and abiding realization that while the forms of this world are ever changing, something lasting and infinite persists, uniting everything. Separation is seen as an illusion. All forms have this Buddha nature, arising and returning to it, never apart from it. The enlightened person is perpetually in touch with this eternal source. The journey toward enlightenment begins by seeing the world as a mundane and made up of separate forms. It culminates with the realization that nothing is mundane or separate. All is unified, oneness. It is said that each of the 10 phases of Zen ox herding can take years or lifetimes, but in rare cases, minutes, hours, or days. Number one, seeking the ox. All people are already seeking the ox, searching for fulfillment and happiness in their work, relationships, and other worldly pursuits. Number two, finding the tracks. In this phase, the insight dawns that all worldly forms come and go, leaving just fleeting satisfaction. Something more lasting is sought. Three, first glimpse of the ox. This refers to a person's first spiritual experience or satori, flash of insight. This is what kind of piqued my interest. It can take the form of an epiphany, a oneness, awareness, while out in nature, a near-death experience, or kundalini during meditation, the glimpse that makes an impact and inspires us to continue on the journey. Had all those. Awareness while in nature, near-death experience, you know, epiphanies during meditation, rock balancing at the beach. And I was like, that's number three. Let me read on. Number four, catching the ox. At this stage, changes in focus and life structure are inevitable. And I was like, yes. One begins to lose attachment. I'm like, oh my God, I'm clinging to every word now. One begins to lose attachment to material things and may change their job, relationships, or other circumstances to make their spiritual journey a priority. 52, I'm going to not do this, that. What's your priority? Spiritual journey. That's only number four. Five, taming the ox. The seeker, I love that, becomes aware that there is a watcher dimension within them that is independent of thoughts, perceptions, and emotions. It is the space from which all I thoughts arise. Light bulb. Number six, riding the ox home. It's probably my favorite title of the 10. This watcher dimension grows stronger as the advancing practitioner is no longer ruled by the mind, thoughts, ego, and who they thought they were. Mic drop. That line killed me in a great way. The advancing practitioner, Moa, is no longer ruled by the mind, thoughts, ego, and who they thought they were. I was like, this is like nuts. To me, I was like, ah. Like, now I'm reading the path. When I say I went to the bridge and the sign said go left, go right, I'm like, okay, now there's someone else that wrote that same thing about the bridge. And it even gets better. Still number six, riding the ox home. We may have thoughts and emotions, but we become less and less prone to being swept away by the monkey mind or identifying with it. And I'm like, well, I did a whole podcast on the monkey mind thing. And I'm like, yeah, if you don't pick your thoughts, your mind will just, hey, think about that, worry about that. Hey, in 2 years, what if? Okay, monkey mind, having fun. And I'm like, no, you... no longer ruled by your thoughts, ego, or who you thought you were. And yeah, you understand, I got thoughts and emotions, but I'm less prone to being swept away by any of it. Seven. Well, this is a cool title too. Ox Forgotten, Self Alone. Dun, 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 dun. We realize that we are not apart from our watcher dimension, true nature, or oneness. The seeker, the seeking, and the sought are all of the same energy field and therefore one and the same. Goosebumps. However, we may still experience ourselves as a separate being. Oh, cliffhanger, right? Let's move on to eight. Both ox and self forgotten. separateness and duality evaporate as we see ourselves and all things of part of the all that is, the oneness. It is a visceral experience, not just an idea or concept. Let me read it again. Separateness and duality evaporate as we see ourselves and all things as part of the all that is, the oneness. It is a visceral experience, not just an idea or concept. Number 9, return to the source. While oneness is seen as the source of all that is, forms were thought to emerge and return to oneness instead of being continuously synonymous with it. In this phase, the linear time illusion slash construct dissolves, past, present, future, and all forms are appreciated as the timeless now of oneness. Now of oneness. How powerful is that? I want to get a jacket that says now of oneness. 10. So I don't think, I'm definitely not at 9 yet. Entering, I didn't quite understand it. Entering the marketplace with helping hands. The enlightened person is now the embodiment of awakened consciousness and returns to mundane life, knowing that nothing is mundane. All is oneness at all points in time and space. Bliss, gratitude, and unconditional love prevail. Well, that I've had a little taste of, so that's intriguing. The Buddhist teaching of enlightenment overlaps with Christianity in that both emphasize being in the world but not of the world. And that's what I was saying before, the one foot in, the one foot out. Being in the world but not of the world. After enlightenment, the forms of the world are appreciated with no attachment or aversion. Love and deep compassion reign. And while samsara, reincarnation, ends, many choose to help others become enlightened. The Bodhisattva Bodhisattva path, Bodhisattva. No idea. The end. So now I was like, okay, what should I read this? Okay, what is it? Enlightenment. The 10 stages of enlightenment. And I'm like, I would have never, ever, ever have read that. But to have read it, understood it, most of it, and had it resonate where I was kind of like, nod the head, check the box, nod the head, check the box. Okay, about right around 7 or 8, I'm probably right there. Step 7, 8. I felt parts of 10. I'm like, that's me? Really? I like it. So I shared what, again, just this moment I had where I wanted to thank my, it was around episode 350. This is episode 360. So 10 weeks ago, I want to thank my wonderful producer, the Canadian assassin, Sir Nico Katsilas. And then I stopped and I went, well, I can send him something, make him something. And that'd be cool. He'd like it. I said, but what if I made something for his parents? I go, and you know, they got to unwrap it and he got to watch that. I'm like, that'd be cool. And I go, what if I wrote, hand wrote a letter to his parents about him, so his parents would open the gift, read the letter in front of Nico, and then Nico would get to experience that. I'm like, that'd be a gift for everybody. And in the end, I would hear and I would win. So, like I said, that was 10 weeks ago. And I didn't want to go, hey, I sent you a package, but don't open it, it's for your parents. But after about 6 weeks, I said, look, I sent you a package and I have no idea because it's going to Canada. But it's, I sent Nico something before. It didn't take that long. But with the whole pandemic, you don't know. And because it's pandemic in Canada, you know, whatever. And again, it wasn't monetary. It was just what I said. I just wanted Nico to have that moment, that experience. I wanted to give his parents that experience and just, you know, kind of create like, create a moment of energy, you know, in another country and not even be there. And my wonderful producer's birthday was July 31st. And he texted me and he said, the other day I got a note from the post office. And he goes, I went there today and it's a package. So I'm going to bring it to my parents this weekend. And I went, what a great, I mean, after 10 weeks, not lost, yay, but now the moment gets to happen. And I, you know, jokingly said, hey, record it, or record your reaction, or just tell me about it when it's all over. And he goes, yeah, my parents aren't ones for being recorded. And I said, I totally understand. And I was going to record this and I wanted to get it. Go, just text me a little tidbit, a little sound bite that I can put on the episode. I'm going to record it tomorrow. So he sent me this text. You made my mom cry. She got partway through the letter and had to stop reading when you mentioned how kind Costa, Nico's brother, and I are because she was crying too much. She had to go back and read the rest later. My dad had the biggest grin of pride. Whew. I hadn't read this before. See, I'm happy for that. But it, I don't know why. It affected me. I didn't get through the sentence. My dad had the biggest grin of pride on his face. I'm happy that Nico has that with his father. As one tear streams down my left cheek. They both loved the picture frame and photo of your art and were like, how does he do that? My mom put your photo on display so people will see it right when they enter the living room, when they come into the house. And then you put attached a photo with it. And there it is, my art in someone's house in Canada. And that just, all this just fills me. Like, I didn't read it. That's, he writes, huh? She wished she could have mailed you some bread or pie. She loves baking. Oh. So, I don't know. I just, like, see my point? People are like, no. No. You know, you're crying and we can kind of understand you. But no, no point. Got no clue. I'm present. I stop, pause, reflect. I like how I think. I like how I respond. And I stopped and I said, well, what if I make something for his parents, Nico, my producer, and I write a letter? And I thought what just happened would happen. It took 10 weeks, but it just happened. Like, I just put that into motion. I'm going to do A. B will happen, C will happen, and then D will happen. What's D? Me reading what happened on the podcast and crying. Because I made someone cry in Canada. Like, that's just powerful to me. Like, I got a superpower. I can predict it, do it, and then hear about it and just be filled and overwhelmed with joy. 55. I wasn't doing any of that shit before 48, before 50. So see, that's why I'm celebrating. That's why I share. Come to my well by the water I sell. That's why I'm telling you what I'm telling you. Like, there's good stuff coming my way because I'm thinking the way I am. I'm responding the way I am. You know, walking by faith the way I am. Oh, so this was a weird but awesome story. It can be a really long story, and I can make stories long, but I'm going to keep this one short. About 2 years ago, my truck was vandalized. Someone hit the back window, not on the side, the very back window on the side, which is a small kind of triangle window, with something, broke the glass, and then dented the body around the where the window was. And it was like a $500 deductible, and the glass was $400, and I'm like, you know, it sucks, I'll pay for it, I don't want to put in a claim. And so I paid for it. I'm like, well, if I ever have any extra money, I'll go see what it costs just to get those dings taken out of the body around the window. So I've had a friend who was a body guy for, you know, quite a few years, but like last 2 years, I really haven't brought him, like, you know, my car or anything. I haven't needed any work or anything like that, but I would go there, and he's like, hey, if you ever need any of that, he's like, you know, that Armor All tire shine stuff, he makes his own, and it's super dope. And I just would buy stuff all the time that never worked, and I used his one. So I'm like, dude, can, he's like, yeah, just, so like every 9-10 months, I'd go fill up this little bottle, leave, you know, X amount of time later, go back, can I get a refill? Hey, Ken, what's up? That was about it for like the last 2-3 years. And I met him through the gym I used to be at. So we would, hey, you working out, whatever, just chit-chat, but nothing. So I go in there, tell him the story. Hey, this happened like 2 years ago. I paid for it. I wanted to get the body work done. He goes, why don't you put a claim in? I'm like, well, it's kind of late. He's like, no, it's not. You can just do it now. And I was like, why? He says, why didn't you? And I said, well, he goes, because I didn't want, you know, the rate to go up and had a deductible. And he said, what's the thing? He goes, your rate's not going to go up. It's comprehensive. He goes, you know, and now if you know an insurance guy, he's willing to do this. So it's nothing like illegal, but he was going to now do it. And you couldn't walk into insurance and go, hey, I thought about it and I wanted to turn in this 2-year-old claim and will you do it and blah, blah, blah. And Ken just said, don't worry, I'll take care of it. He was your family. And I was like, and I was just like, well, I, you know, kind of saved up a little extra money. And I thought, well, let me just go see how much it is. And now he's like, you know, it's not going to cost you nothing. And I was like, wow. He's like, just, you know, go get a claim number. And so called, came back next morning, dropped off the car. And I said, you know, I checked and I didn't have, you know, rental car. And he's like, well, I'll get you a car. And I was like, well, that was cool. Because I was thinking, look, if it's a day or two. I mean, I just didn't know how long it would be because it's not a big, big job. But I just didn't know at all. And I don't live like that far. It's maybe a couple miles. And I've walked there and back with Zen before. So I'm like, you know, if I don't have my car for a couple days, I'm fine. So I didn't, you know, but he's like, yeah, I'll give you a car. I was like, all right, cool. So did a couple other things. And then he comes walking out. And I said, oh, just by the way, you know, how long do you think it'll take? And he's like, well, probably next Wednesday. And it was Wednesday, and I was like, a week. And in my head was like, he just gave me a rental car for free for a week. I just thought a couple days, and I'm like, well, I don't really need a car for a couple days, but I'm like, well, a week, I'm gonna need it. And I'm like, and I was like, wow. So now, and then he goes, oh yeah, by the way, he goes, I'm gonna get your money back on the window. So I get in that rental car. It's free, and I'm driving, and I swear the feeling is like me in the, like my face in the, wow, deer's in the headlight, that look on my face, like I'm just getting in the car, driving away slow, waiting for someone to go, hey, stop, kidding, Oh, didn't work. Oh, so wait, they called us. Can't. Oh, sorry. Can't. Something. And I'm driving all the way home. I'm like, okay, this was a car experience, which typically costs you money. Insurance experience, which is never good news. And I'm like, I'm now getting this thing where I don't have to spend the money. So it's like, okay, it's like, wow, I got that money to keep now. And then I'm getting this fixed. So it's like, okay, cool. I won't have any dings or dents out of my car. It's cool. It looks good. Yay. And then I'm going to get money on top of that. And I got a free rental car for a week. I was excited for 2020. I was stoked in March of 2020. My birthday turned 55. Podcast was 5. Zen was 5. 4 5s equal 20. It was just, and then April pandemic hit and I was just a little better. Stuck around May and I was just a little better. You know, June people were tripping out how hard it was staying around and I was just a little bit better. And come July, people were starting to kind of freak out, do bad. Some places were reopening and second phase came back and shut everything back down again and I was just a little bit better. And out of the blue, I was helping people that I didn't really know I would have moments to really, really go, okay, I've got some value. I'm going to share this with you. Listen to me. I'd like you to feel this way. I'd like you to think this way. And they did, and they felt that way, and they think that way. And I'm like, okay, I'm doing that now. And then my little protege, Jack, reaches out and says, Tom, just wanted to shout out and say thanks. You know, for showing me, teaching me my passion. And I was like, this, like, I didn't need cheering up that day. And, you know, Zen just fills my heart every day. And the things I've been making, creating in my, you know, Zen garden lately, and still going to the beach that never closed. And I keep going there. And it's like everything just gets better. And then I have these moments added on top of it. And I'm like, okay, so August starts. And I'm like, here, getting this fixed for free, and here's some money. And I just tell people, I go, look, I'm not tooting my horn, but my story is what's possible. And the vibrating higher, it's like, well, hey, you know, there's people really hurting right now, and I know it, and I'm so thankful I'm not hurting. There are people struggling because they're out of work and their kids are at home and not. And I go, and I know, and that's why I'm so thankful that I don't have kids and I can earn income. I'm not yay bad as happening to anybody, but like I said, 3-4 years ago when my life slowed down, Zen got hurt, my clients started quitting. I was losing business. I was going into my savings. I wasn't. You know, there was not a bright future. No one was saying, hey, Tom, we're doing really good and we noticed you were doing bad. Are you okay? And I'm not saying, you know, good, bad, right, wrong. I'm just saying that now it's like it's switched. I'm just doing me. But everything got better. And everything is good and it seems to get better. And I've been talking to my clients lately. I go, you know, I've been sounding like this for a while now. Like every podcast, I'm like, yep, sounding good, doing good. This is why going to keep doing it. Here's something I learned. Here's new verbiage. Mosier and I talked. This is what we came up in the lab. Had an epiphany, had a moment, feeling spiritually enlightened, continually, consistently evolving, and sitting down with people and just knowing what to say. And that is where I dwell. In the knowledge that that is now me. That came from within me. That's my good. I can stare at my good all day long now. It was always there. Just took 50 some years to really find it, locate it, appreciate it. And then enjoy it. So where I dwell, come to my well by the water I sell. That's what I'm selling right now. Like the car thing, I'm like, that's never happened before. So if I'm vibrating higher and I just attract good things, Ken's like, dude, your family. And I'm like, Like, like I like him. I do. He's a good guy. But I mean, and maybe he just says that to everybody. But I'm like, no one's ever like, here, we'll get, no, I'll go above and beyond for you. Don't worry. I'm driving home going, you know, when do you get that phone call? You get home. Oh, Tom, bring that back. I was kidding. Oops, made a mistake. Wrong guy. I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. So I'm going to keep saying what I'm saying. So if you're tired of Tom talking about how good he feels, you might want to try another podcast. So I have some notes. I was prepped and prepared. My life is unaffected. The best it's ever been. Peace, clarity, no white noise. See the good. Mostly, especially in others. Have purpose. Have peace. Dig my tribe. I must be doing something right. I went through what everyone is experiencing, but I didn't suffer. Grow through what you go through and vibrate higher. That'd be a fantastic way to end. Let's do that. You are worth it. Control that which we can. Seated on the floor, eyes closed, neutral neck, shoulders over the hips, navel tucked into the spine. We will begin to draw the inhale through the nose. We will exhale out the mouth. We will stay connected and we will stay focused on that process. While doing that, simultaneously, we will block out everything else. We will do that to the best of your ability for 180 seconds. I will let you know when time is up. You may begin now. Thank you. Congratulations on another successful pro you moment. You know, I am enjoying this phase of my life. No noise in my head, and I get to help people. And it seems like such a simple thing to do, that I can do it well, and I can enjoy it. And I keep thinking, you know, what were the exact steps that I took to get here? And how can I share those exact steps with the people listening, so they can feel what I feel, so they can experience what I experience? And it was a journey of how am I going to ever feel better, feel different. And along the way I was helping people, but it was always a search to fill that void, ease that pain, quiet that noise, just feel okay. And that was pretty comfortable, pursuing that version, living that way. Never did I think I would be here. And as I sit calmly recording a podcast, that's what rests at my core. I hope the people listening will get a sense of where I am, the journey I took, and they'll deem themselves worthy. Finding the fruit of your labor along the way. In lieu of all that's going on in the world around us, that's kind of the kicker. To do your best in spite of, in lieu of. To be your best. To be thankful. Peace and God bless.